Blog Talk Radio.
Where the feeling is so.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Williams with the Nomi Nomi Institute, a 24-hour human developmental process and a foundation for learning based on God's Word. Here we are again on this month of Sha'ban as I seek refuge with Allah, the one God, from the Shaitan, the rejected enemy of all mankind. And with Allah's name, or with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we give open testimony that there is one God and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger. Today we are here present, Sha'ban 23, and we have about 6 or 7 more days in this month, and we will be entering into Ramadan, the 9th month of the Hijra calendar. And today we have 2 other individuals on the career choices, as we have Nathaniel Williams Perez and Yusuf Abdushakur. And Nathaniel Williams Perez is going to present himself now. Everyone.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
This is Nathaniel Williams Perez.
He's talking.
I am a sports equipment business person.
That's your vision. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And today you're going to be talking on, we only have a few moments. Today you're going to be talking on what?
History of basketball.
Okay, let's hear it.
In early December 1891, Canadian Dr. James Naismith, a physical education professor and instructor at the International Young Men's Christian Association Training School, YMCA.
Well-known YMCA, huh? Okay. What did he do? Oh, continue telling us what happened.
In Springfield, Massachusetts, was trying to keep his gym class active on a rainy day. He sought a visionist indoor game to keep his students occupied and at proper levels of fitness during the long New England winters. After rejecting other ideas as either too rough or poorly suited to walled in gymnasiums, he wrote the basic rules and nailed a peach basket onto a 10-foot elevated in contrast with modern basketball nets. This peach basket retained its bottom and balls had to be retrieved manually after each basket or point scored. This proved
a significant.
However, so the bottom of the basket was removed, allowing the balls to be poked out with a long dowel each time.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball was ordinarily played with a soccer ball. The first ball made specifically for basketball were brown. It was only in the late 1950s that Tony Hinkle, searching for a ball that would be more visible to players and spectators alike, introduced the orange ball that is now in common use. Dribbling was not part of the original game, except for the bounce pass to teammates. Passing the ball was the primary means of ball movement. Dribbling was eventually introduced by the asymmetric shape Early balls dribbling.
So dribbling was limited because of the asymmetric design of the balls, okay?
Dribbling only became a major part of the game around the 1950s as manufacturing improved the ball shape. Baskets were used until 1906, when they was finally replaced by metal hoops with backboards. The further change was soon made so the ball merely passed through. Whenever a person got the ball in the basket, his team would gain a point. Whichever team got the most points won the game. The baskets were originally mailed to the
mezzanine
balcony of the playing court. But this proved impractical when spectators in the balcony began to interfere with shots. The backboard was introduced to prevent this interference. It had the additional effect of allowing rebound shots. Naismith's handwritten diaries, discovered by his granddaughter in early 2006, indicate that he was nervous about the new game he had invented, which incorporated rules from a children's game called Duck on the Rock. As many had failed before it, Naismith called the new game basketball. The first official game was played in the YMCA gymnasium in
Albany,
New York, on January 20th, 1892. With 9 players, the game ended at 1-0. The shot was made from 25 feet, 7.6 meters, on a court just half the size of a present day streetball or National Basketball Association. By 1896 through 1898, teams of 5 became standard.
Okay. Then, now, so you're interested in doing sports equipment.
Yes.
So the game itself, now you see the equipment that is needed to play the game of basketball, though you're looking at basketball, you intend to go through studying each sport, right?
Yes.
So that if you're going to be a business person selling equipment, you'll be able to tell the history. That would make you be a little more proficient than other sports people, right?
Yes.
That will add to your being the best business person you can be, knowing the history of the equipment and the game itself. All right?
Yes.
Okay. So, again, you are who?
Nathaniel Williams Perez.
And you are what?
A sports equipment business person.
All right. Sports equipment business person. Next, we're going to hear briefly from the next individual, and it is, he's coming forward with his paperwork. And we thank everyone for their patience. As you see the development, you're watching these young individuals develop right before our eyes. And when they began to be the teachers, when they began to be the role models, when they began to express where they got their beginnings from. All right, come on forward.
Hello, hi, everybody. I'm Yusuf Abdushakur. I'm here with the Nomi Institute, a 24-hour developmental process for learning based on God's word.
Yes.
And I'm here to today to talk about my future career, if I decide to be a scrub nurse or RN or whatever.
Okay, tell us about it.
And a scrub nurse is assist the surgeon in surgeries. They pass the tools.
What does it take to become a scrub nurse?
What does it take to become a scrub nurse? Okay. In an operating room, much like a repair facility, the correct tools must be used. Scrub nurses prepare, locate, and pass the tools that are used in surgery. To become a scrub nurse, you'll need to be either a licensed practical nurse, LPN, or a registered nurse, RN. Career defined. A scrub nurse is an LPN or RN with perioperative training. As a scrub nurse, you are in charge of ensuring that a surgeon has the correct instruments available to perform an operation. When you're asked for an instrument in the operating room, you locate the instrument and hand it to the surgeon. In some cases, you will anticipate the surgeon's need to have the instruments ready without being asked. Education requirements. To become a scrub nurse, you first need to become a licensed nurse. You can do this by completing an LPN program or earning an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree in nursing. LPN program. To become an LPN, you will need to complete a one-year program at a community or technical college. Your courses will include pathology, anatomy, physiology, surgical, nursing, obstetric nursing, and pediatric nursing. An LPN program is designed to prepare you to take the National Counseling License Examination for practical nurses. As an LPN, also called a licensed vocational nurse, LVN, you will work as an entry-level nurse under the supervision of an RN or physician. You will perform duties including taking the heart rate, blood pressure, and temperature of patients. You may complete paperwork and help patients with practical needs, such as in showering and dressing. With experience, you may be qualified to step into the operating room as a scrub nurse, or you may continue your studies by completing a certificate program in surgical or perioperative nursing. Perioperative certificates programs for LPNs include approximately 12 credits or concentrated studies in advanced concepts and operations in surgical care. Associate's degree. Earning an associate's degree in nursing, ADN, will qualify you to take the NEXO RN, the national examination to become an RN. The courses you will take in this program include pharmacology, human development, and practicum courses in material care, acute care, maternity care, pediatrics, geriatrics, and emergency care. Some programs also include elective courses in perioperative nursing techniques. Bachelor's degree. Completing a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, BSN, also prepares you to take the next RN exam. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, RNs with a minimum of BSN have better promotion. Nursing and may include a surgical rotation as part of clinical training. If you enroll in a BSN program, you likely have more opportunities for hands-on training in a hospital setting than you have in an ADN program, says the BLS. And that'll be all here for Yusuf Abdushakur.
Very well done. Thank you very much, Yusuf Abdushakur. What do you think? Yes, you give a thumbs up. All right, everyone, thank you for listening to Yusuf Nathaniel Williams-Perez and Yusuf Abdushakur today talking about sports equipment, the business, sports equipment business person, and the vision of becoming a scrub nurse. A scrub nurse, either LPN or a registered nurse. Yesterday, we had the pleasure of having one give their vision, and that was Shamel Williams-Perez and his vision of becoming a registered nurse. And he stated also what Yusuf was discussing today on taking the Bachelor's of Science, getting a Bachelor's of Science degree. They're all in high school right now, except for Yusuf Abdushakur. He's already in the process of retaining his general equivalent degree, general education degree, and going on to also do his studies. I believe, let's see, Isaiah Abdushakur is a senior, and his interest, his vision is to become that real estate person, a realtor, the one that you will see with homes in mind. The others that right now you see, you have the medical equipment, the medical field, and the sports equipment. Then we have Jibril Abdushakur, physical therapist. Yes, another medical field person. So they all are going to have to know anatomy and psychology, and some will have to have the pharmacology, study of medicine, and all will have to know the human being. And this is what the 24-hour human developmental process does, is allow us to get to know ourselves, and therefore we get to know our physical attributes. We get to know what is the blood made up of? What we breathe in and out, you know, the gases we breathe. What are those chemicals that go into our bodies? What chemicals do we need? What are their labels, their symbols? We're not going to stop on any information that is very useful for all of us. We want to be well-grounded, well-rounded, and with our faith in Almighty God, that's what we're striving for. We thank you for listening. Again, this is Martha Nyla Williams with the Nomi Nomi Institute, a 24-hour human developmental process and a foundation for learning based on God's word.